and welcome to the latest episode of the Online Warriors podcast. It's the Earth Day cast. We are recording this on Earth Day. Nerdbomber, happy Earth
Thank
Day.
Thank you.
What's your favorite thing about the Earth?
That I'm on it to grace
Putting
you all with my presence. No, I'm kidding. I actually like a really nice warm summer night around a campfire.
Good answer. Tactic, what's your favorite thing about the planet Earth?
Places without light pollution.
Ooh, a rarity for sure, but a good answer. I love a good beach. I'm a simple man.
Beaches,
I know that's a
beaches have a
answer.
Little bit less light pollution.
Beaches have less light pollution. The sound of a beach.
Very relaxing.
Are you, are we talking a lake beach or an ocean beach?
Ocean beach, specifically the Atlantic. I've never been to the Pacific. I've never been to a Pacific beach. Would love to go.
Okay, I'm going to stop you both right there, though.
Lake beaches are
good.
Don't
besmirch the lake beach. A lake beach can be
Oh, I just was just saying, lake beaches are good.
The ghost of the Edmund Fitzgerald will tell you that there can be just as wavy of a day on the Great Lakes. Wasn't that, is that Lake Michigan? Was that, I remember the song.
I believe
it was Lake Michigan.
I think it was Lake Michigan. That's very morose of you to bring up, but yes. Lakes can also be
well deep. No, I was saying from a wave perspective, because without the waves the Edmund Fitzgerald doesn't get taken down, so clearly there's waves because there's songs about it.
That is what I love about a beach, and less so these days, but when I was a kid I used to go to the beach, and I only would like the beach if the waves of the beach would that beach better fuck me up. I better be falling down from these waves. Otherwise, what's the point of going
into
the
beach? Have you,
I don't feel so much that way
have
now.
Have you gone to a beach where it's crystal clear water, it's not super wavy, the sand is not rocky, it's just very smooth sand, and you basically, it's crystal clear? You don't need waves for that.
Yeah, the Caribbean. I don't think you're going to find a lot of wavy beaches on the Caribbean. I think it's a lot of everyone, let's just have a good time, and the water is clear, and like you said, you can kind of just float there. And that has its place, absolutely. But I love the sound of a crashing surf. And that puts me in mind of another question. Happy Earth Day, listeners. Happy Earth Day. Let's take care of the planet. I was talking to my wife somewhat recently about this, and I haven't asked you guys this question. She was talking to me about constructing your mind palace. Now, when I hear mind palace, I think of Sherlock, the BBC show, where the mind palace is, I think, where he stores all of his information. But what she meant by mind palace was let's say you're laying in bed, trying to fall asleep and trying to achieve a state of deep relaxation, and you can insert your body and your mind and your being into any fictional or non-fictional location. It's for example, mine is, it's a bedroom with a soft bed on it, and there's an open window, and out the window you can hear both the surf on a beach but also rain, and there's also a fireplace in the room. So that's my sweet, peaceful, relaxed state. That's where my body and my mind goes. So let's go back at the end of the episode, and I'll ask you before we disband where your mind palace is. So we'll start with a note of relaxation, and we'll end with a note of relaxation. So throughout the episode, I want you to think about that and internalize that as I ask you questions about pop culture, because that's kind of how these episodes tend to go. We have a big episode today. Let's talk about indie world, Nintendo indie world, as we have for the past many indie worlds. And frankly, it never disappoints. So we'll get to that probably at the top half of the episode. Then we got a couple of trailers to run through, if there is time allowing. M. Night is back. I'm a big M. Night fan. We'll get to that. But there's also some more Deadpool 3 footage that we got just today, actually. That trailer came out. So we'll get to those things. But we should start with Nintendo indie world. Now, I watched this showcase earlier today. I believe you guys also watched it earlier today. It happened last week. I believe the last time we talked about Indie World, I said much the same thing, which is just that these showcases typically come in at between 20 minutes and a half an hour. This one was no exception. I think it was 22 minutes. They're jam-packed. There was probably 10 or 12 games that were announced in that 22 minutes. And these are all, of course, based on the title, indie games, which I feel like have a certain quality. And I find these experiences to just be increasingly delightful. And what I said to you guys earlier today, because I messaged you guys and I said they were just taking so many shots and they didn't miss. And looking through the game list I realize that that's not exactly true. There's gonna be one that I'm gonna bring up as being a quote unquote miss.
I swear to God,
really,
if it's Little Kitty
Big
City, I'm gonna punch you in the face.
It is okay, not Little Kitty Big City. So keep your skirt on. It is, however, Sticky Business. But we'll get to that. But no, like looking through this list of games, like people probably saw the trailer for Sticky Business and were super excited about it. My point being that there is something for everyone. There's known and unknown IPs in here, mostly unknown, but there's a couple of known IPs that we'll get to. Maybe just the one. I don't know. There's one that's staring me in the face right now. But there's side scrollers. There's not side scrollers. There's sequels to, I believe, a huge Nerd Bomber series.
Absolutely.
Yeah, making that up. We'll get to that, of course. I'm kind of just teasing a lot of these. So there's sequels, there's non-sequels, there's games that are dropping as you see the trailer. There are games that aren't coming for another 6 months. There's a lot of variety, and I just love it so much. That's like, before we get into specific
games,
I want
to recommend,
like,
you just go and check out game developers on Reddit. Just what the community of just these indie groups and these sole developers, it's absolutely amazing. I pop in from time to time, and to see what people are creating is just truly inspiring.
And you can tell, you know, from some of the, we saw a couple of teams that were developing games. And when I say teams, I mean like between 2 and 3 people who are just like painstakingly developing these games, which is definitely cool to see. So yeah, I don't know how exactly we're going to do this. I guess we can go in order. And because Nerd Bomber came on so strong, Little Kitty Big City is what opened the showcase.
We have seen this before.
Yeah, it's the prequel to Stray.
This is Stray. Yeah, I'm not saying that that is necessarily a bad thing. I feel like this has definitely elements of Stray, but I also think it has elements of Untitled Goose Game, if either of you are familiar with that. I think it's a little bit of that, very lighthearted. You have jobs that oftentimes appear to just be annoying people, which is very much the spirit of Untitled Goose
Game. I do like that you can trip people, and that is like one of the things that you can get points for, check off on your list or something like that. That's incredible.
I did not play Stray.
You should.
I know, Nerd Bomber, you did. This feels
like
cuter.
Babies versus Stray, honestly.
Which, like, by the way, you trip people in this the same as you trip robots.
Right. But like, my comparison, having played Stray from a storytelling perspective is a lot more mature and deep. And there's a lot of things where I think if you're going into the game not really paying attention to the dialogue and the characters, you're going to miss a lot of the world building that's going on around you. Whereas I think this one is a little bit more straightforward. They're peeling back some of those layers, kind of getting rid of the intense storytelling. Like, obviously you're a lost kitty trying to get home, but it doesn't seem like it's that much more in depth. So it's taking like the cutesy parts of Stray that people enjoyed outside of just the storytelling and giving it in a more presentable, cozy manner.
But I guess you can correct me if I'm wrong, if it's not a spoiler, but like, there is a fundamental difference in premise here too, in the sense that the stray cat in Stray is exactly that, a stray. And like, Little Kitty Big City's protagonist is not, they, he just falls out of window.
Like, you
well,
have
Stray
a
starts he has, off he has a home. As having a home and a group of other kitties, and it falls off.
But it's, like, this is a kitty that's like a domesticated kitty with humans. It's not a post-apocalyptic setting. Like, it is a domesticated kitty.
It's less dark. Yeah, the vibe is totally different. And it's just like, oh, you fell out a window. Now let's do some cutesy hijinks. And like, yeah, I don't have any problem with that. Like, this is, and I think I'm going to say this about a lot of the games in indie world. Like, I'm not going to go out and buy this game, but the gaming world is better for this game.
I think this is something that I would play on Game Pass. This is like
Well, there is no Game Pass in this scenario.
I mean,
but I
this
get your point.
Might not be. I don't believe this is for Switch only. I think this is a multi-platform game, and so in that case, like, if it came to Game Pass, I would play it on Game Pass. In fact, it might be going.
Yeah,
on Game
I don't have that information. Yeah, I don't have that information in front of me. A lot of these are indeed timed exclusives, but I don't have the information with respect to Little Kitty Big City in front of me at this time. It's Babies First Stray, I think, is a very good way to put it.
It will, in fact, be on
Game
Pass.
That'll be very fun.
Yes.
Oh, like imminently?
When it releases, yeah.
May 9th, that's coming out. So very soon. Yars Rising. I don't love
this one.
I don't love the title, but this is Metroid. Like, this is Metroid.
See,
right?
I
disagree.
I was like watching this trailer and I'm like, this looks like your standard Metroid type game, and I don't. I think no this looks
more
it.
Like your standard Sega game. I don't want to give it. It's not Metroid-y. It looks like the, and I believe this is a Sega game. If I'm
Atari,
but it looks like
I may
like,
be mixing this up.
Like this could have been Mega Man as game. Well. You know.
Okay. No, this is this is the one that I was like, this looks like a Metroid. And again, don't have a problem with that. This is very similar to Metroid. I think it has slightly different elements, but it looks like, in terms of 2D traversal and abilities,
the bad guys look very similar. Too like easy. That's why I'm saying it's...
They do look easy.
And maybe I could be surprised on the boss fights. We didn't really see a lot of that. We saw more kind of the grunt battles, and so it could be significantly, you know, up my alley. But like, I want to see.
Well, at one point, we see her playing like a mini game sort of thing too. At one point, so there's definitely going to be some different flecks of color in this that Metroid does not have.
I also want to see the transformation. I guess
if you need that's true. They tease it, but you don't ever see it. I guess my point is that as base descriptions go, this looks like Atari made a Metroid-esque game. And I don't have a problem with that at all. We don't know a whole lot. You're trying to uncover the secrets behind a mega conglomerate corporation as the main character, Yars, which I think is her like gamer. She says it's her gamer ID or something. So I think Yars. I think whatever the company is that she's fighting against is a big like tech company or something. It's apparently it's a return to a 2600 game called Yars Revenge. So this is kind of a remake, which I did not really know until reading this right now. They never really say that. In the trailer, I'm not going to pay much attention to an Atari 2600 game, but big fans out there probably are really mad at me right now, and that's understandable. Refined Self.
I actually
love the concept so much for this.
And I was actually surprised as I was watching this trailer, and I'm sure somebody else has done like a personality test game, but I've never seen anything, at least on like showcase level, where a game has basically taken the premise of, you know, a personality test, which I'm sure we've all taken multiple times for various reasons, whether it's school, work, funsies, and implemented it in, you know, your dialogue choices in a game. Like, I know, obviously, you have like the Paragon Renegade system or like good, bad system, but to have, I believe it was 23 different types of personalities baked into this game that is determined based off all the decisions that you make throughout. Like, normally this would not be the style of game that I'm into just from the art style and like what the game actually is. But the fact that they've kind of included this personality test and then allow you to send your results to friends and compare answers and compare like where you landed. I just find that to be such a cool concept.
I'm genuinely curious how long the full story is. Is it a 6 hour gameplay, or are we talking, you know, huge time sink? Like, how can you really do this personality quiz where it's not something along the vein of 6 hours or less even?
Well, I would like for it to be less. I would like to be able to, like, I think the genius of this, right, is that I don't think anyone's going to think to, like, sit down after a day of work and be like, I'm going to unwind by taking a personality test. Like, I don't think that's what people do, but I think people would say, I'm going to unwind by playing, like, a round, or whatever the terminology may be, a round of Refined Self. And, like, depending on how much replay value there is in, you know, playing through a quote-unquote run, if you think about it like a roguelite, and like making various decisions and then seeing what comes out, I think that could be very interesting. I think the 23 types are pretty funny at times. Like, one of the types is samurai, which I'd like to be a samurai. Yeah, the shareability aspect is cool. I don't know how much I'd want to pay for this game, but I love the concept, at the very least, as like a sort of exploratory effort into games like
this. So I can give you some details, because this is currently out on Steam. I don't think it's on Switch until the summer, but it is available on Steam right now.
Correct.
So it's $7.99 on Steam. And based on how long to beat, average playtime, if you're doing the main story and some side missions, is about 2.5 hours.
Okay, that's perfect.
That's perfect, because you play it once. And like, I think that would be interesting too, is like, it's tough because you have to try and take your own consciousness out of it a little bit. But like, what if you play it on the weekend and like you are having a good time and you turn out to be a clown, and then you play it after a bad day at work and like turn out to be a Sam? Like, I think it would be interesting to see, like, oh, I'm going to play through it today. And like, depending on how linear the story is and how many of the same questions you get each time, I wonder what the replay value is like. But I mean, for $8, you know, assuming that price roughly translates to the Switch, like, who doesn't want to just find out, you know? I think that's a really cool concept. Very into that. This was one, and there were a few like this that I'll try and shout out as we go down. There were a few where the trailer started, and I was like, this doesn't... I'm not feeling this. But by the end, I had been sold on it, and this was one of them. I think in particular, the shareability and, like, them showing the charts at the end of, like, the... you know those graphs? You've all
seen
them.
Oh, yeah. The graphs that, like, have... the, they're graph. Like,
yeah, I don't know if it's called the person... I don't know what kind of graph it is, but, like, it's a graph with, like, eight numbers and, like, an octagon, and based on how strong your various personality traits are, you make a certain shape. It's really cool. But yeah, this one sold me at a certain point, and I was very into it, and I wasn't necessarily expecting to be at the beginning. So, like I said, I'm going to say more of those throughout. Sticky Business was not one of those, though. This I don't want to run a sticker shop. I don't even know what a sticker shop is.
Well, this is like, one of those, like, lifestyle sim style games, and it's either for you or it's not. And for me, I don't think that this scratches an itch that I have, but I'm sure for somebody who is interested in running, like, an Etsy shop doing stickers, like, maybe you just want to get a taste for what it would be like before you delve into actually doing
cut
it.
Cut your
yeah.
teeth.
This, to me, feels like it had potential to, like, tap into other markets, so to speak. And what I mean by that is, so Jackbox, as an example, there's all of the doodle games. And after you play these games, you have the option to then get that t-shirt design. Yeah. I was shocked that I didn't see this with, like...
Likewise.
Like, if you love a sticker that you created, that you can, like, get the PDF of that sticker and go to your Cricut, or, like, send it to an Etsy to print the Cricut for you. Like, there seems to be a market there that would have been fantastic in this game.
I was waiting for the whole trailer for them to say something of that nature, and they never did. I agree. That was very, very surprising. It was the part that kind of, like, the concept didn't really have me from the beginning, but, like, where it lost me is, like, people will email you and order stickers, and as you make them stickers, you'll learn about their lives. And I was like, I don't know how many sticker makers are learning about their customers' lives. Like, not that this game has to be, like, steeped in realism, but
I have a sticker? My husband died.
I didn't
really
understand what they were doing. At one point, you're laughing, but, like, at one point in the trailer,
yeah, the
they're
kid's
like,
mom.
You can learn, like, how to... The kid's mom died. I was like, what? I don't need that in my game.
I think that,
like,
though, like, they weird. Have to give the game a little bit of personality. Otherwise, after a while, how engaging is it to just make stickers? There has to be, like, a reason to
right.
be...
There has to be depth.
And so I think that's where they're pulling in depth.
Yeah, it's very interesting to me. Again, like, I'm not here to crap on literally any of these games, not even this one. Just, like, this was the one that stuck out to me as, like, just... Like, you, I think you put it best. It's, like, just not for me. I'm sure it's for someone. Anton Blast, this is another one, like, and less
Did
so than, like,
you
it's
of
very specific. Yes. It reminded me a lot of Wario Land 2 on the Game Boy. This was the one that, not that I take notes during these, but if I were to take notes during each game, the note I would have made for this one would have been Game Boy, because it looked like a Game Boy game. And I don't mean that in a bad way at all, but, like, just the way it looked like it played... It did remind me a lot of Wario Land 2 specifically, but, like, there were a lot of Game Boy games that were
this
like
one felt really overwhelming to me. And I don't remember being overwhelmed on the Game Boy, so I'm not going to, like, take a notch out of what you guys are comparing it to. But this reminded me a little bit more in terms of just, like, the aesthetic and how much shit was going on the screen at a specific time. It reminded me of, like, a side-scroller version of Smash Brothers, just with how much was happening, and I was having trouble following.
It's extremely over the top. The thing I liked, I believe this was the... Was this the one where they said that you would go through a whole level and then you had to go through it?
Yes. Yep.
I liked that concept a lot. Also, the boss fights looked pretty cool in this one. It did have a lot going on. Like, there were certain... I think this one I was watching and I was like, man, YouTube's frame rate is, like, struggling with all these pixels being demolished. And it was like, yeah, it was very intense. But I liked it. And it did stick out as being particularly... I don't want to say particularly unique, but, like, I don't think we saw a game like this in the rest of... I think you can draw similarities about a lot of the other games. In this one, it was not similar to really any others. Valley Peaks. I had a hard... So this one... the thing that was funny about this one to me is they were like, it's very relaxing, and then it's like, you're hanging off a mountain. And I was like, I'm not relaxed. As someone who's afraid of heights, they're like, you'll climb mountains. It's relaxing. I love the art style in this game. I think... It looks really cool. I don't, this is one that, again, it's on the list of like, I don't know that I would buy it necessarily, but I think there was a very distinct vision with this one. And I'm into
that. It's a neat concept. I don't think it's for me, but it's a really neat concept. And I'm glad it exists for people who it will hit home for.
Yeah, that's kind of that's my message for this one as well. It's like, okay.
All right. Well, if we're not going to belabor the point on that one, I'm going to talk about Lorelei and the laser eyes for a second.
This was weird.
Damn, this one looks so good. This one, I actually looked to see if I could buy it. And like, I know they said May 16th is when this one's coming out. As far as I know, I can't pre-order it on the Switch, but this is definitely going to be a birthday gift to myself because it looks like exactly the kind of game that I would be very into. Third-person adventure, a lot of puzzle elements, a mystery, and I guess a hotel is where it is. I don't know. It's just, I think, again, very unique visual style, which I think a lot of these indie games have, but this one had a lot of gameplay elements that it looked like I was going to resonate with based on my recent plays. So, was very into this one. Europa.
This was the one that I was very into.
Well, the floor is yours.
So, this one's kind of a open world 3D platformer. It has like kind of cozy vibes, but also there's like a lot going on and a lot of exploring to kind of figure out where all the humans went. And there's puzzle solving and various like exploring and mystery solving. And it looks right up my alley. And I'm even reading here, it's giving Breath of the Wild vibes. And yeah, I'm sold.
Yeah. To me, the main thing I would have to say about this one, because again, I don't know that I would be so much into this one, but this one is one of a couple in here that I feel like is masquerading as a first party title. Like, I think it has a pretty significant scope, and visually it looks great. It has, again, a very clear vision. I could easily see this being, with a different IP put in place, maybe, gameplay-wise and, again, scope-wise, it could be a AAA title. It could pass for that in certain circumstances. Now, TMNT, Splinter
Cell.
This
doesn't feel like it should be an indie world.
This was one that, so I am... publicly on the show, I know I've said that I'm not a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles person. This looks amazing. This really good.
Honestly, and it looks like Hades, but Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles skinned and co-op, and like, count me in.
Yeah, I'm pretty sold on this. Yeah. Dibs on Raph, though.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, the two major things, I think, co-op and roguelike, or roguelite, I never know which one they're saying. And this trailer did a very good job of describing the exact nature of the roguelike elements. And I think that's important, because if there's one thing I've learned in my recent roguelike experiences is that they are not created remotely equal, and there's a lot of variance from roguelike to roguelike in terms of what's retained.
Sorry, this was roguelite, not like. So, because...
It is,
because you do get to keep some like, power ups. It's not permanent.
No, it says rogue. I'm reading roguelike.
No, I went down this dive. The classic definition is roguelite. That is, it takes some inspiration from roguelike games, but it deviates. So this is roguelite.
I don't know. It's saying roguelike.
Well, they're incorrect. I don't know what to tell you.
They're probably confused. They're probably as confused as we are. The other thing I liked a lot about this, and there was at least one other game we talked about that emphasized co-op, and maybe we haven't talked about it yet, but I know there's a couple games in here that emphasized co-op specifically, which again, I really appreciate. Really particularly like, you know, as an adult, because we're adults, whether we want to be or not. We have adults that occasionally have commitments and things come up and blah, blah, blah. The drop-in, drop-out online co-op, I feel like that's really important. And like, they definitely said that it existed very specifically, and I applaud them for that. As to your question of which turtle I would be, I guess I'm going to say Michelangelo, because I think that's the one that the name I know the best. But I know there's also like Raphael, and then there's two, Leonardo, and...
I'm a Leo gal.
This is a fun
quiz. This is perfect. We're not crossing teams. That's perfect. We just got ourselves... We got to find ourselves a Donnie.
Well, based on the trailer, actually, which was the guy who like... He had higher critical hit. There was one that had like a higher chance to score critical hits. There was one guy that had ranged attacks. There was a guy who had a higher chance.
That was Raphael. So, like, they all critical have, like, hits is Raphael.
Specific powers.
Ranged, I thought, okay, that's your guy. Because his long pole.
It looks great. The barrier to entry in terms of not knowing anything about TMNT, I would hope, is pretty low.
Today.
I am curious. So like, one of the things with Hades, which I know Tech will talk about later, and also Illegal, I urge you to look into because it's on sale for 50% off on the Switch right now.
$12.
I'm curious about the length of runs and the length of the game, because one of the things that Hades did really well is the length of runs. Like, you could complete a run, whether you got killed right away or, you know, you finished the whole run, you could finish in about 45 minutes at max. And, like, especially as you were getting better, like, you could finish a run all the way through in, like, 30 minutes. And if you got killed, it might be 15 minutes. And that was actually one of the things that I loved about Hades, was they found that sweet spot where you could pick it up or put it down and you could, like, just play for a little bit but make progress. But the overarching game was a longer experience. And I'm wondering how they're doing that, like, how, if they're kind of following the Hades format there as well, where they're going to have shorter truncated runs that kind of build up to a longer game experience, because that was something that I felt like was a big takeaway from Hades in terms of game design and, you know, playability, because then you'd be like, okay, well, I'll just do one more. It's only a half hour. And I hope they kind of do this.
Well, yeah, thing. And that was like, I've talked on the show, I think, a couple times about how much I love Returnal, but, like, the length of Returnal runs is, like, pretty punishing. So, like, you'll put in, and I didn't even get halfway through. Like, because I sucked, but, like, I would put in a good, like, hour to an hour and a half in a run and then die. And, like, you're just so much less inclined to start another run in that case, because you're like, oh, I poured my heart and soul into that and I died. So I do agree. I think that's an important aspect of any roguelite or roguelike. Yeah, this one, like you said, looked really good. Barely an indie is what it felt like to me. And this one drops on the Switch in July.
And this one is going to be a timed exclusive, I believe.
I believe that is correct. It's already available on mobile devices, so I would assume timed exclusive. Nerd Bomber, your time has come.
Cat Quest.
Cat Quest 3.
Bro, this franchise, first of all.
It looked great. It looked great. I've never played any of them.
You should play Cat Quest
2. I'll give you the floor.
So first of all, you can buy a dual pack of Cat Quest 1 and 2. The first game is not co-op, but I do urge you, I don't think you necessarily need it for, like, to know the story or anything. Jump into Cat Quest 2, play it with your significant other, or play it alone. I don't know. It's just super fun, very cute. It's a very accessible game. It's dungeon crawling, but it's very accessible. The story is actually a lot more involved than you would give it credit for. And I'm very excited about this threequel because
I like that
they're adding more elements too. So I feel like every game they've added more elements. Like Cat Quest 1, it was a very standard, straightforward, like, you are a single player cat working your way through these dungeons and this world. Then in the second game, they added, you know, a second player to play with you and a completely different species. And now in this third game, they're adding like pirate and ship battle elements. And that just looks super fun. I am so stoked for this. These games look so simple on the surface, but they're really, really tight in terms of gameplay. Very fun. You can pick it up for like half an hour and then you get sucked in for a few hours. And especially if you're playing co-op, man, I can't wait for this. I'm glad they kept the co-op. I'm glad they added ship elements because that just looks cool AF. So I'm stoked. August 8th, here I come. Cat Quest 3.
Demo available today. So go check it out if you like. I have not bought Stitch yet.
But you're gonna?
But
this looks good.
I'm going to, I think.
It looks like, if you know, this, it's so, yeah. Like, I want to get this for my mother. And not because, like, sewing, well, that's, but because, okay, like, my mom's always asking that. Me for, like, hey, can you recommend any, like, mentally stimulating puzzles? And she's, like, on Wordle and trying to keep her brain fresh. And, like, I want to get this for her. And I want to get this for me.
Easily the worst thing that Nintendo, like, the worst thing about Nintendo's gaming ecosystem, and it's not even close, easily the worst thing is that you can't gift games to people because, for whatever reason, I think kind of like you were just saying, seeing this game, I thought of like three people immediately. I was like, I could get this, I get them this game as a gift. But you can't gift specific games on the eShop, at least as far as I know, which is really, really hindering. But this game looks incredible. This was another one that, like, it's the trailer started and I was like, this is bull crap. And then, like, by the end, I was like, I need to buy this game. And there's always at least one game in the Indie World Showcase, which I love this, that just, they're like, yep, go get it right now. It just came out. And it was this one in the case of this showcase. So loved Stitch. It's currently $15. I do think I'm probably just going to go ahead and buy that, and I'll update on how it is. Moving towards the end here, there's one more big one, and then they kind of gave a quick five at the very end. So we'll kind of run through these before we take our break. SteamWorld Heist 2 was kind of the big daddy that they saved for the end. I have never played SteamWorld Heist, so I don't really have a horse in this race, but this looked good. I mean, I feel like this was a 2015 2D tactic shooter, was what SteamWorld Heist was. I feel like it flew under my radar for whatever reason. I do think I could have liked this a lot. The turn-based part scares me.
Something about this one seemed off. Oh, do you know what it was? This game reminded me too much of the game Worms. Have you ever played Worms?
Yeah, but you're losing me because I love Worms. The turn-based part, though, yeah, that's where it's coming in. I love the idea of building a team, and I like the vibe generally of like pirate robots almost, and the ship combat looked fun. I agree. I don't know that I'm gonna like jump out of my seat and go grab this one, but this was like, I feel like their big finale, which I don't know if people are like super anticipatory of this game, but I certainly am not. We got a rapid fire sizzle reel at the end. I'm just going to run through these titles if there's any you guys want to shout out. I know Another Crab's Treasure we have talked about before. I don't remember exactly what context we did. This comes out April 25th, including on Game Pass. So I know you Game Pass people are going to be into that. Duck Detective, The Secret Salami, a casual detective game, launches on May 23rd. Animal Well, Pixel Metroidvania, May 9th. Shim. This one I want to shout out specifically because I think the concept is amazing. 3D platformer about leaping from shadow to shadow. You're a frog that leaps between shadows. July 18th. And then finally, Bzzzt, a cutesy action platformer that launches this summer. It came out on PC last year. Yeah, I would just say Shim looked cool, but we barely saw any of these games. Like, I don't know that there's much more you guys want to say about them.
Yeah, I wish they showed more of Shim. Like, the only way that we knew that it was bouncing shadow to shadow was like, you were like, oh, okay, that's what's happening there. But that's such a cool concept, and it really should have gotten more time in the limelight.
Totally agreed. So yeah, we are going to move on now. But if there's any games you wanted us to pay more attention to, or that you think we got wrong, as always, at OWLegal86, at OWTactic, at OWNerdBomber, and our main show account, at OnlineWarriors1, are all on Twitter. So hit us up there. Let's have a conversation. We'll take a short break now before coming back and probably rapid firing a few movie trailers here to close out the news segment. But before we do that, Stephen Keller, it's your time again. Stephen is a Patreon producer on our show, and he gets this weekly shout out every week, and we are happy to provide it. As a Patreon producer, Stephen always also gets the occasional guest spot on the show, as well as, of course, access to the monthly secret segment and vlog and input into the weekly game segment. He gets all of these things as a Patreon producer, Patreon supporter at our highest of three levels, which is the knight level. There's also a squire level, which gets you access to the monthly secret segment and vlog, and a page level, which gets you access to the monthly secret segment. So you can head over to patreon.com/onlinewarriorspodcast and take a look what we have to offer. Consider giving back to us and hanging out with Steven in the Patreon producers club, which is not actually a physical place, but it's kind of more of a state of mind, and it's a state of mind you want to be in, trust me. So again, that's patreon.com/onlinewarriorspodcast. Thanks again to Steven. We'll be right back to talk about Trap and Deadpool 3.
Hi, I'm Kevin DeCristofano.
And I'm Sean Flanagan.
And we are the Ninja Turtle Nerds, your weekly podcast covering the Ninja Turtle comic book series one issue at a time. Plus the video games, the cartoon show, the VHS tapes. If it's Ninja Turtles, we'll cover it. Ninja Turtle Nerds is available wherever you get your podcast.
All right, welcome back. Got a couple movie trailers here. We're going to move a little bit faster because we cranked through a whole indie showcase before. But I do want to take a minute to talk about Trap, which is the latest M. Night Shyamalan movie coming out August 9th of this year. Josh Hartnett. Remember Josh Hartnett? I guess, I mean, he was in Oppenheimer pretty recently, so like he's on the scene.
This trailer flipped and reversed it on me. I thought it was for sure going to be a Taken type plot line. And then it was like, nah, I'm straight up the psychopath.
This is,
and I was like,
this
what?
Is the brilliance of M. Night. I look, M. Night, the thing about him is that whether he hits or misses, he always takes a big freaking swing. This is going to be a massive swing. Like, People are already speculating online about what the big twist is going to be. I've seen a lot of really interesting theories on that. But just the concept alone is kind of crazy in a very M. Night way. I'm probably going to go see this in theaters. I just think it's going to be so much fun to be part of the zeitgeist of, like, assuming there is a big twist, kind of being in on the ground floor on that. The thing that's interesting about this, too, that I don't know if you guys caught, because I don't know how much they mentioned it in the trailer. The premise, right, is a dad and his teen daughter go to a pop concert, and at the pop concert, he realizes that cops are surrounding the venue because they got a tip that a serial killer, I think called the Butcher, is going to be there. And it looks like, based on what we see in the trailer, that he is the serial killer. I wouldn't say that's confirmed outright, but it seems like it probably is. The pop star. Do you guys know who the pop star is?
No.
No, who is it?
It is Salika Shyamalan. It's his daughter. It's M. Night's daughter.
Oh, so, interesting.
How are you able to tell?
The internet told me. They're thinking that he's trying to, like, kickstart her career, I guess. Which I don't know that it's necessarily going to do that, but I think the movie is going to be interesting. So I just thought that was an interesting thing to point out about the movie itself.
I mean, she is a R&B singer, songwriter, and actress.
Right.
So she's got the credentials.
That's right. So yeah, we don't need to belabor this one too much, but I think the premise is interesting. I think no other director will be doing this besides M. Night, and there's equal chance that it's going to be amazing and terrible. If anything, I'd probably say there's more of a chance it's going to be terrible, but probably like an entertaining kind of terrible. And I think I'm here for that. So
I think I like this concept better than, what was his last one?
Old was great. Don't you dare talk about Old. Did you guys see Old?
No, but I saw the trailer and I was like, this is not for me.
A ridiculous movie. I actually think his last movie was Knock at the Cabin, which was pretty good. Definitely upper half M. Night, which is not saying much because he's had some real stinkers. But the best prediction I've seen of the twist so far, because again, I'm seeing a lot, is that the daughter is actually the serial killer and he's trying to protect her. So just, I don't know. That
would be an interesting twist, but also I would hate that because she's like a child. How is she getting a grown-ass man?
I think that would be an awesome twist, but we'll see. There's a lot of speculation between now and August, so we'll have to just wait and see. Wrapping up here,
I think the twist is that he actually just escapes.
That's not a twist. That's just a movie plot. There's going to be some big jaw-dropping twist in it, because that's what he does. So I'm curious to see what that's going to be. Wrapping up here with Deadpool 3, we got the official trailer as opposed to the teaser trailer today. I would say what this really showed was just, you know, in the first trailer, we didn't see any Wolverine. And in this trailer, we saw a lot of Wolverine.
Are the more trailers you see of this making it you less interested? I'm finding that happening to me.
I would say no, actually. I think this trailer was better than the first one. And I think it further bears out that this movie is going to live and die by how good their chemistry is. And I think it's pretty good. Like, if this movie is good, it's going to be because of these two probably doing a lot of ad-libbing on set, is what I imagine a lot of this was. You know, everything else about it, it's, yes, it's like there's more blood in it, but it's like, it's going to be a Marvel movie no matter how you slice it. And I think we're all a little tired of that. But what's going to make this interesting, I think, is those two bouncing off each other. Because in the past Deadpool movies, of course, he's talked about Wolverine a lot in a jokey way. And seeing it kind of, quote unquote, true to life here, I think is going to be really interesting. But you're turned off.
Yeah, it came off really, really strong, especially with like the posters and things like that. But I don't know. I feel like it's not going to hit as like immature in a good way. Like I think it's going to, I think the Marvel integration is going to kind of
censor it out.
Well,
that's the risk it runs, right? The risk it runs is, and you, they're starting to sneak in a little bit more. You didn't really see much. I mean, you saw, of course, the TVA in the first trailer, and you see a little bit more of that in this one. But they're starting to sneak in more and more. They're jumping through a Doctor Strange portal. You see a giant Ant-Man helmet. Like, they're sprinkling it in a way that it feels like they're probably pretty conscious of the fact that we're all tired of a lot of that stuff. So I certainly agree they're going to have a really light touch with that, because it also threatens to, like you said, shift the tone of the movie away from what it should be or what a Deadpool movie should be.
However, they did drop some F-bombs in the trailer.
Which that alone is a bit of a departure, right? I guess what I would say is that I think this movie, based on the trailers I've seen, I think this movie knows what it needs to do. whether or not it will actually follow through and execute on that and do it, I guess, remains to be seen. But I don't know. I haven't seen much that has me super discouraged. I don't know much about the villain, but for the moment, I'm not sure I really need to know.
It's Xavier's sister there.
Okay. Done. Cassandra Nova. That's what Google tells me. So comic heads out there will be able to tell right away based on what I just said who this person is. July 26th when this comes out. Height of the summer movie season. I don't know that it's going to be a theater watch for me. I would bet that it probably won't be, but I'm not necessarily opposed to it being a theater watch for me. I'm just like not chomping at the bit to see it like I was with a bunch of past Marvel movies. So MCU, you did this to yourself. I'll watch it on Disney Plus. That's probably what you want me to do anyways. Well, if there are no further thoughts, we can head into What Are You Up To Wednesday. This is the part of the show where we talk about what we've been up to. I think I started last week. I'm not sure, but it feels like I did. So we're going to kick it over to Nerd Bomber today to kick us off.
All right. So one of the big things, and I have to talk about it, and spoiler alert, this is also the voted topic for our quiz. We all know I like Taylor Swift, and there's a Taylor Swift album drop. And I was like, okay, cool. I'll have like 12 to 15 new songs to listen to. And then she was like, psych, bitch. Here's 31 songs. Enjoy. So I've spent a decent chunk of the weekend listening to very lyrically dense music that there is mixed reception to on the internet, which is fine because if people don't want their Eras Tour tickets, they can just, you know, send them to me for free if they don't want them anymore. I will gladly take them off your hands. In addition to that, though, still, you know, burning through my Chuck rewatch. And I also bought a game. It was like briefly on sale, but then it like went off sale almost immediately, but I snapped it up. Have not played it yet, but I'm very excited to play it. For $8, I picked up Balatro.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that 100% correctly. Yeah. But it's basically a poker style deck builder type game / roguelite like. I don't know the difference between light and like. We've looked this up 1,000 times. Rogue game, I'm going to call it that. So I'm very excited to play this. It feels like something that I'll be able to play on my Steam Deck, pick it up randomly, and have a good time. I also do have to make a quick note, too. We also know that we play Pokemon Go in this household. And the update for Pokemon Go
weird.
Was weird and crazy, and I don't like it. They made some avatar updates. The graphics are just... They're trying to give you more diversity in what your avatar can look like, but they didn't do a good job adjusting all of the different outfits that you could have bought in the past to the new avatar type. So it's just coming out weird. And like the environments in the game now are just off or weird to me. And maybe just because I've played the game for so long, looking at it a specific way that it's just like bothering me, but it's a little weird. So also just a PSA, the next time you log into Pokemon Go, if you're still playing, it's probably going to look a little funky.
Yeah, you sent me the listing for Balatro a while back, I believe. It's on my radar. See, now I have a problem. Like, it's on my radar along with Stitch and Hades. And I ain't got time for all this. I'm probably just going to wind up picking one, and I'm terrified that I'm going to make the wrong choice, which probably means I'm going to pick none of them. So I'll have to do some research. That's a me problem.
I think you could probably get away with buying two, because I think that either Balatro or Hades are going to be one type of genre, like more active gameplay, where I feel like Stitch is a little bit more of like calm. Like you're just trying to solve puzzles, man. Like you're not there for a long time. You're just there for a good time. Do you know what I mean?
I like that, yeah.
Kind of like you pick up your daily Sudoku with Stitch. You're picking up your daily Stitch. Like you're not going to sit down and necessarily play it for like an hour. Whereas I feel like Balatro and Hades, that's something that's a little bit more involved.
Balatro currently on sale. Sale ends. Oh, the sale will end before this episode drops. So I guess I shouldn't have said that, but currently is on sale for $13.50. Hades $12.50. Stitch $15. So it's just there's just a price point in there that I'm just gonna bullseye at some point in some way. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see which one I wind up going with. Stay tuned, I guess. Tactic, would you like to keep us rolling along here?
I would. So we had our corporate event, and Illegal and his spouse had come over to our humble abode, and we had tacos, we played games, and it was just overall a good time. I introduced Illegal to the Online Warriors demo, and he found some bugs, which was kind of fun to see.
He
activated immortality. I don't know how, and I haven't been able to recreate it. So
I'm a natural, you know, that's, what can I say?
But he played it, and now it lets me put it down and move on to the next thing, because I just wanted to do a little side-scroller to see if I can, and that ultimately my dreams are a bit bigger for what the actual game that I think so I want to move forward
You're tabling it, just to clarify, for the moment.
I'm making it seem like this was my plan all along, but really I just want to try a 3D platformer now, because I have a hobby ADD. I don't finish things, I move on to the next thing.
I don't think creative passion always needs to be so targeted. Like I think you're being too hard on yourself. I think it's cool that you're continuing
to explore. maybe I'll post this demo on the Patreon, so if they wanted to see if they can break it. But I'm pretty happy with the progress that I've made and the lessons that I've learned along the way. And then the other thing that I want to talk about is, yes, I have started playing Hades, and it is fantastic, because the next game I want to play is a roguelite, and I am doing market research. Wink. Really, I'm just having a good time. I recommend it. If you want to get into roguelites, definitely check out Hades. I hear it's good, and it is
good. Good wink. Yeah, I'll like I said, it's on my radar already. On my end, I did wind up beating Need for Speed Most Wanted. I climbed to the top of the blacklist. I did not finish the challenge series, but I do think it's time to move on. I mentioned this to Nerdbomber and Technic, but just to air it out to the world, I guess. This was another case of like me realizing that I was better at video games when I was a kid than I am now. Probably because I had more time to dedicate to them and my motor skills were better. But like beating it was like, there were a couple times I was like, this is very challenging. I don't remember being this challenged when I played it as a youngster. I'm sure that'll happen again next time I go back to a game I played when I was younger, but not a good feeling. But the game itself, absolutely fantastic, holds up, absolutely 10 out of 10, no notes, loved it. As for what my next game is going to be, I think I've talked at length about that. The short answer is I do not know. But the other thing I want to shout out that I kind of got myself into this weekend, watched a movie. I'm trying to further my cinematic education, and I'm always kind of trying to do that. And so I watched a movie called Primal Fear, which is from like the 90s. I actually don't know when it's from, but it's a legal thriller starring Richard Gere and Edward Norton. Famously, Edward Norton's first ever movie. Also, like, famously a pretty decent movie. Not like, I don't know if it won a whole lot of Academy Awards or anything, but it was like considered to be a commercial and critical success. It was super entertaining. I love watching movies like that because I know they're going to be good, but I also know that they're going to demand very little from me. And that was exactly what this experience was. So if you're in the mood for a legal thriller, if ever you are, I would check that one out. So that brings us to Quiztown. And Nerdbomber, I believe it's your hosting this week, which is, that's it good, is because indeed. I don't think Tactic or myself would stand much of a chance if the topic is Taylor Swift and her Dead Poets Society.
No, I mean, these are like,
that's what the new album's called, right?
No, Tortured Poets Department. But this is all very like statistical things that I don't think the average person would know unless they're like really above and beyond obsessed.
I was doing a goof. I know that it's Tortured Poets Department. I just think it's...
In the music video that she put out for the lead off that album, though, she did have a Dead Poets Society reunion with the actor. She brought them back.
I mean, it sounds like she just opened up the thesaurus to come up with like a synonym for Dead Poets Society, which is kind of funny to me. But anyways, Taylor Swift, I plan on winning. Before we get into it, Nerdbomber 7-3, myself 6-4, Tactic 4-7, Steven 0-1. So Tactic, I don't know, man. Keep on keeping on. I don't know what else to say at this point.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep on keeping on.
Nerdbomber, the floor is yours.
All right. As per usual, this is Price is Right style trivia, where you have to get as close to the number as you can without going over. And there's one lifeline per person. You can either plus one your opponent or use the number one time per game. Let's get into it. How long is the Taylor Swift Complete Collection playlist on Spotify as of today, which is April 22nd, 2024, in minutes?
How long is the, like, her, every song she's done?
The playlist, which is the Taylor Swift Complete Collection.
So this is like her discography?
Pretty much, yes.
Okay, many minutes.
Note that not every song is on Spotify, I believe, but this is the Complete Collection on Spotify.
That's a tough one. You could fill, oh boy. This is interesting. 496 minutes.
Oh, I think that's way under. I think we're at 600 minutes easy.
And Tactic takes this one 1,613 minutes of music.
Do you even like Taylor Swift?
You know, she I love Shake It Off. That's what I'll say. That song goes so hard. I'll take the L on that first question, but I'm ready to play here.
All right. How old was Taylor Swift when she sang the Star Spangled Banner before a Philadelphia 76ers basketball game? What was her age?
She was 12.
13.
You guys were very close. Illegal, you wasted your plus one. Tactic busted by one. She was 11 years old, so nobody.
Well, that's devastating for your boy. That's not good. All right, I got to lock in here.
All right. Here's another opportunity for you. What is the number of Taylor Swift songs streamed during one internet minute worldwide, according to Statista? So basically, they said at any minute in the internet, how many Taylor Swift songs are being streamed in that
How many minute? Songs? How many different songs or how many streams are occurring?
Streams are occurring.
I mean, I feel pretty confident that we're in the thousands. I'm going to say 60,000.
15,207.
All right. And Illegal finally gets a point on the board. 69,400.
60 felt like a really good guess, and it sounds like it was.
All right. So this next one, I had fun with this. So according to famouskin.com, which lists celebrity affiliations and kin with other celebrities and famous people, Taylor Swift is George Washington's 10th cousin. How many times removed?
This is an amazing question. Oh, I don't go first.
What does it mean to be removed? How does one get removed?
I don't know that. First of all, I don't know. But second of all, I don't think that Nerd Bomber should tell you if she does know. That's a hint.
I don't know. 9 times removed? If that's how we're going to play.
Wait, sorry. What was your answer?
Maybe you should be paying attention.
He said 9.
Thank you. Well, I was thinking about what removal could mean. It's more than that. It's less than that. It's less than that. You said 9. I'm just going to cut it in half and round down. I'm going to say 4.
Tactic has been getting very close with these, but unfortunately busting by 1. 8 times removed. Wow. So Illegal gets this point.
Absolutely brutal.
And I can read you the definition of what that means.
If I knew what removed was.
A cousin who is X amount removed is that many generations removed from you.
Okay. So it's just straight up generations. All right. So we have one question left, right?
Yes, sir. And currently, Illegal has 2 points. Tactic has 1.
No. Got his foot on his throat. I got my foot on your throat, Tactic.
All right. How much revenue was generated by friendship bracelet sales for the Eras Tour between the months of April and August 2023 on Etsy?
Oh, God. It's so much money. We're in the millies, no doubt. We're in the millies. Because this is revenue, not profit. $13 million.
One penny.
Smart. Respect.
You just plus one'd him?
Yeah.
You didn't say one penny, you plus one'd him?
Yeah.
Oof.
I bust.
You both busted, which makes Illegal the winner by default. $3 million were generated in friendship bracelet sales on Etsy between the months of April and August 2023.
That was funny because you just said, and one penny, and she didn't know what you meant, and she had to ask because it was very important. I'll take the dub. Yeah, it was a bit of a fizzle there at the end, but a dub is a dub.
I did have a tiebreaker. Would you like my tiebreaker?
I think you want it.
I'll not ask it as a question. I'll just tell you that the Taylor Swift concert in Seattle in July caused a 2.3 magnitude earthquake.
Yeah, I feel like I did hear that. I moved to 7 and 4, Tactic to 4 and 8. Nerd Bomber's at 7 and 3, so Nerd Bomber, I'm sniffing that top spot. You better watch your back.
Hey, as long as I'm not in last place, I'm all good, baby. It's all gravy.
Yeah, Tactic, it's back to the drawing board yet again. But good news.
Have you watched your punishment yet?
Nope.
We have to keep you accountable on this podcast.
I'll run it up the flagpole. I don't even know what that really means in this context. I'll get to it. Before we go, though, I have good news. It's time for us to all enter our mind palaces. Have you guys given any thought to what your mind palace is? Tactic, where's your happy place mentally, internally? Where are you?
It's a dark void of no thoughts.
So is it
just quiet?
So it's peaceful, I guess is what you're saying.
Pure darkness, like Vanta Black.
We can't, boy, Nerd Bomber, your answer is now way more important because Technic is trying to be a downer. Don't let him end on that.
No, it's just emptiness. That's what it's the void. It's not down. It's just a void.
So I guess I'll have two answers then, because the void is unsatisfying. My cheeky answer is my third row seats at an Ocon concert. My real life answer is probably literally anywhere sitting with my dog. Maybe on a nice sunny day in the backyard, grass under my feet, sitting with my dog.
I would encourage all the listeners to, as you're laying in bed tonight, attempt to discover your mind palace and where and what it is. And let us know what it is on Twitter if you're comfortable sharing that information, because I think it's a very fun thing to talk about. Just talking about it brings me some level of peace. So just a bit of a tip for you there at the end here. But we will leave you now until next week. You can head over to Apple Podcasts, hit us up with some reviews, hit us up on Twitter, hit us up on Patreon, hit us wherever you want, I guess. And we'll talk to you next week. But in the meantime, stay safe and keep on podcasting.